Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Instant Match Reaction. I am Paul Machin and I'm joined by Chris Pajak. Still, for this one, if you've been with us all the way through the Fan Zone commentary, you are absolutely incredible. If you've just joined us, you're fine as well, but you're not as good. Chris, that was a bit of a slog. I think getting through the game, ultimately, there was a lot of that match where I wonder, like, we'll talk about it, I guess, and probably this in more depth and detail on the final word tomorrow, of course, but it had all the elements of one of those games that we've seen played time and time again at Anfield where team defends resolutely, Liverpool can't find a way through, and then they just bang on the door for 90 minutes. Now, what's worth putting out is that the reason why Liverpool have won the Premier League this season is because they actually, by hook or by crook, find a way to win games. Mm. So as much as that was crap, it'll only ever be remembered as 3 points rather than a poor performance.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, we said it early on during the game, didn't we? You know, 15 minutes in, I think we were talking about it and I said, like, look, this team won't be worried yet, you know, that they haven't got that first goal, that breakthrough goal, because they're not like us. They realise and remember every reason that they got to the top and that they won the Premier League. And that is a lot of that's down to patience as well as technical ability and the drive that they show each and every week and the determination. So this side know that they can blow teams out in the last few minutes. Now, I don't actually think it was anywhere near like one of those games we've seen over the past, because Liverpool weren't creating chances. That was the problem. It wasn't one of those typical games where a team comes in and puts in a dogged defensive performance. We just weren't good. Mm-hmm. And Aston Villa were playing well and fighting for something. And that's the difference. That's why I was more upset than if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Because I could see a way out. Yeah. You know, eventually you bang on the door long enough and you knock it down. It didn't feel like we were going
to
see that this
time. It was hard to tell, you're right, whether it was a resolute, deeply dug-in defensive performance from Villa, because we just kept not passing the ball to the right people in the final third, and we were so sloppy at times throughout that. And you're right, I agree. It wasn't... I think about, like... Burnley away in Klopp's first season. You know, we beat
40
Arsenal.
Shots.
Yeah, we beat Arsenal first game. Mane's not in there for the second game, and it's Adam Lallana popping shots from 35 yards. And you know, and we were just, you know, we had no answers, we had no creativity. But we that was all we had in our locker. We were just poor in this game. It wasn't one thing. It wasn't just it wasn't the final ball. It was the ball before the ball. It was the crossfield balls. It was the balls from deep. There was no give and go interchanges happening between the front three. Everything about how we performed was just off.
The fact is, I mean, I've got some of the stats actually up on my iPad in front of me, Paul, so I can talk through a few of them now. We had 65% of the ball. We had 4 shots on target. Aston Villa had 3 shots on target. We had 1 shot off target. Aston Villa had 4 shots off target. You know, 1 shot blocked for Liverpool, 2 shots blocked for Aston Villa. Our goalkeeper made more saves than theirs on the day. Mm-hmm. You know, he made 3 saves and he was a big part of that victory, Alisson, in the end, wasn't he? So, you know, yes, you're right. You know, it was hard to see where it was going to come from because nothing seemed to work. And I don't know whether that was... And I think sometimes you have to take circumstance out of it. I think against the City game midweek, you can't take circumstance out of that game. But now I think we're a little bit removed. And we can just judge Liverpool for the performance that they put in. Yes, there's reasons why. Yes, Liverpool haven't had the best week. Yes, we are league champions, but when you just look at that individual performance, if that was prior to us winning the league, that was a poor game. Mm-hmm. So it's still a poor game after we've won the league.
Yeah.
For nothing was working, like, for the reasons that you said, the passing wasn't crisp. You know, the passing, even when we get good opportunities and you think, oh, we're actually maybe able to break through the lines here, the ball was played behind the fullback and he was having to stop his run, and we've seen that time and time again throughout that game. And that's the disappointing thing, is that I didn't know whether Liverpool had it in them today to get a victory.
Yeah.
But because of how we are and what we know about this side, they still did. And they still kept going. And they still kept fighting for every blade of grass. And that's why ultimately we get the thing. And it's ultimately it had to click one time for us to score a goal there.
Yeah.
You know, a great through ball from Trent, I think it was, to Naby Keita. Mm-hmm. And then the ball from Naby Keita is unbelievable because he's seeing four, five, six players all moving in one direction. And he realises, when I play this, they're all going to continue their run and it's just going to hit Mane inside. It was the best opportunity of the game and it was put away with aplomb.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a bit about the midfield then, because... Look, Naby Keita, I think the one who comes out with most credit of the lads who were drafted in for this one. I think it was another encouraging performance. I don't think it was as well as he's played, but I think you can see, again, what the thing about Naby Keita, what he does best, and we've never seen enough of this to be able to truly nail down what a Naby performance looks like. But more and more we get in these games where Naby Keita gets into the box. And when Naby Keita gets into the box and there's another body in and around there, he causes problems. And I was pleased with this. But on the flip side, one of the players who's drawn the most criticism, Chris, is Oxlade-Chamberlain. And
rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't think he had a good game. But I also think some of the reactions I'm seeing are well far and above, far too far the other way. He didn't have a particularly good game. But like, it's funny how quickly people forget how quickly people forget good performances in the past.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is. I heard you talking on the Red Mention show about why you might think that people react like that. Now, yes, you can have a bad game, and Liverpool had a bad game. Are they a bad side? No. Now, is Oxlade-Chamberlain a bad player for having a bad game? No, he's not. Because we've seen him at good games. We've seen him at games where he's got us over the line. You know, we've seen him stick goals in against Manchester City and teams from distance and teams who've sat back, and he's broken the deadlock for us in games. So he's a talented footballer who hasn't had as many minutes as he probably liked this season in centre midfield, who was playing in a midfield today that haven't played together very often and was playing in a team performance that was well below par. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised he didn't have a bad game. What I'm a little disappointed in with Paul is that the game kind of passed him by, but I've seen other good players game pass. I've seen Fabinho the game passing by. I've seen Henderson the game passing by. I've seen loads of them from Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
You know, when Wijnaldum has a stinker, he has a stinker, but then he gets up back on the next game and has a fucking tremendous game.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. I haven't seen anything that says Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain can't do that.
I think Henderson's raised the bar, which has made things a little bit more difficult for him, and maybe our Liverpool play's changed a little bit since he was obviously established in that midfield. But I always think about this, and we'll kind of bring Origi into it, and I will talk more about Ox on the final word tomorrow because I think it warrants it more. But these other lads we've got, and there's a clutch of them, and I think it's the lads who, I think we know that the starting 11 is almost always going to be the one that starts against City. So it's going to be Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum. And then Klopp, we can roughly gauge that Klopp thinks that. So everyone else who's not in that first team, who is over the age of 21, is therefore like a squad player effectively. And some of them are in different stages of their careers, and some of them have got more prospects at Liverpool than others. But Origi falls into that, Ox falls into that, Shaqiri falls into that, Lovren, Lallana. There's a few others. Minamino now falls into that. But like, you know, there's some that you think you'll get more from, and some that you don't. Like Origi, we spoke a lot about Origi on the build up show. It was another very Divock Origi ish performance where he didn't offer a great deal. You kind of don't see really the point and what he's bringing, but I look at Ox and that, and I think there's definitely more to come from Ox, whereas I think Origi at the moment is if you gave me a choice between giving him the same number of games next season or giving those games to Brewster, I might take a punt on Brewster.
I agree with you 100%. You know, I was quite vocal on my thoughts on Origi in the build-up show. If you didn't,
James Graff.
Yeah, I don't think he's very good. But I'm not also going to let that lead me into why I think he had a bad game today. I don't think he was very good. But then when Mane wasn't at the top form, when Salah wasn't at top form, and Origi's playing that nine, again, it becomes difficult. I think it's different if there's 10 players around him who are all playing really, really well,
yeah,
and he's not finishing his dinner.
Yeah.
The service wasn't there for Origi today,
mm-hmm,
and he struggled. Yeah, most strikers look shit when they don't get the ball.
Yeah.
Like, the problem is, he didn't really do anything when he even did get the ball. That's the difficult thing with Origi.
The tricky thing we've got is that balance between which of the lads who are in the squad who are not really, and taking COVID out wouldn't necessarily be Liverpool players for too much longer. Because I think every team's got this. I think Man City and obviously maybe Chelsea from the Abramovich era in particular have kind of skewed our views on what squads are meant to look like. And there's always a degree of churn, because unless you're a first team player that's been ousted, you're buying in a lot of squad players, you're buying in lads who you can hope can make the difference, unless you're going to go out and buy super players like we did with Van Dijk or Alisson. Like, Barcelona have got Chan in their squad. Barcelona have got a few lads. I mean, honestly, like, Ousmane Dembele, you know, he doesn't play, you know, he's not good enough for that Barcelona team, but he's still a very good player. We have this tendency, I think, to look for these scapegoats at any given point in the squad. If you take two players out of Barcelona's first team, and the lads that you put in, are they really up to the same level as Barcelona's nailed on first team? You get into, and then you're starting to get into the world of your Arda Turans. Like, does he even still play? He probably doesn't even play for Barcelona anymore. I don't know, but most of us are like that. But I think we're a lot more critical of these lads than probably fans of other clubs, truly elite clubs are. You've got to have these players in your squad.
You absolutely do, but the problem is our biggest rival right now doesn't have those players. That's the difficulty, and that's where we're looking across down the M62 and looking at Manchester City and going, would you rather have Gabriel Jesus or Divock Origi? Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather have Jesus. Yeah. With no doubt in my mind, I'm looking down at Man United thinking I'd rather have Greenwood than Divock Origi. Yeah. And they're not even a very good side. They're miles off us, but they're starting to turn the corner and stuff like that. Chelsea, at the moment, I'll probably take Origi over there, back up maybe. I do like Giroud, but I'm not taking a punt on him. Origi's done brilliantly for us. You know, and he's fought through some stuff, coming back from injury and loans and everything to have big impacts in big games for us. And I'll thank him for that, and I love him forever for that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that that's one spot in the squad that needs upgrading if we're going to go out there and attack the next title.
And that's what kind of leads on to what I was going to ask you next, and it's the big talking point, I think, for this show in particular, is it discouraging that we needed to bring on three first-teamers to beat Aston Villa?
Not yet. Ask me in four games time if we're still in the same form.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, judging the performance for what the performance is, it's not good enough. But equally, Mane said it himself after the game. I know you didn't hear it and stuff, and you've not really had time to be on Twitter and stuff. But Mane was like, you know, every game's a tough game in the Premier League. And what I was encouraged by is that post-match interview, because he's sitting there going, you know, they're asking about records and stuff, Paul, and he's like, we've just got to take it one game at a time and get the wins. If the records come, the records come.
Yeah.
We've got to keep the focus on the games and making sure that we do our best to get 3 points each and every week. And Jürgen today has done that with the substitutions. He said to them, what I'm telling you each and every week, that this is the most important game of your life, this next one is the most important thing. Now, if he doesn't put his players on, he doesn't roll the and try and get 3 points, then what type of example does that set to the squad for the next five games?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Of the league season, it's because, you know, if Jürgen's fighting for 3 points, he's bringing those three players on if they're on the bench. We've seen him do it at half time when he's brought Salah and Firmino on when he's made a mistake. Yeah. So the fact that he's continued to do that is setting precedent, and the players then respond, players go and get the results, and that's why it's not discouraging yet.
Yeah, and look, we're managing a squad, aren't we? And I think it's weird that, again, this comes back to us where we're at. We've just won a game. We've won a game 2-0. We didn't do it in the greatest way, but it was mentioned on the Red Mention show. This is how we've been winning games all season.
Hmm?
We've been winning. We've been playing to the 95th minute every single game of football that we've played. And it's, I think it's probably because I think it does the narrative of Liverpool need a more creative midfield. And everyone's been crying out for Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain to come into that midfield. And they've come in and they've actually not set the world alight. But it, what we can never judge, and it goes back to Mane's comment there, is we said this in the commentary, but Aston Villa are fighting for their lives. You know, Brighton are in a bit of a relegation scrap, but they're on the edge of getting out of it. You know, you might find that the Brighton game might be a little bit easier. Aston Villa had a solid game plan, and it was a little bit, it was aided by Liverpool's sloppiness for sure, and a little bit of disjointedness maybe in how we were lined up. But we will meet someone in the next week or so who's just done. I mean, Crystal Palace just, they just couldn't come close to match us. They had no need. Mm. There was no need for Crystal Palace to match us. What were they going to get out of matching us? There was nothing. There was no benefit to them for doing it once the game was won. But I would look at it as a note of encouragement that for anyone who thinks that Liverpool are there by luck or whatever, the first team lads we've got are boss, Jordan Henderson's boss, Gini Wijnaldum's boss, Bobby Firmino. As much as they keep bringing up they're not scored at Anfield in the league, stat ass, mate. Because
you changed the game today, and that's why Liverpool got the 3 points.
100%.
So as much as you want to throw individual honours, and you know, if you're a fan of another club and you want to prove that Bobby Firmino's not as good a striker, then well, I'm sorry, but Bobby Firmino's playing for the Premier League champions, mm-hmm. and the Premier League champions are as good as they are because of Bobby Firmino and the way that he plays football.
There's not many forwards, not many teams who play a front three in the way that Liverpool play a front three, so it's hard to judge. And there's not many teams who've got two strikers in their team who are on more than 15 goals each in the league. And that's what Firmino allows us to
Firmino,
have.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. And again, it's tangible. It's noticeable how much better we are with Firmino. And that maybe goes back to the Origi argument. Origi doesn't stay central for long in that game because he doesn't suit our style of play.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, I know you kind of grouped Minamino in and you probably didn't mean it. I don't think he's one of those players that you were talking about before, that like over 21 squad player. Although I don't see him as a natural first teamer for us, I do feel like he's very much at the bottom of his learning curve for Liverpool.
Oh God, yeah,
and we can absolutely see him as a first teamer, and I do see him as someone who will affect games for mm-hmm. us in much more than 20 minutes here and there. Yeah. I do see him as he's going to be a regular starter at some point, certainly in the rotation for regular starts.
I clutch him in there just by the group age of play. He's not better than any of the lads. He doesn't start ahead of any of the lads. He's not got a... right wing is Salah's position. Centre forward is Firmino's position. Mane's position. He doesn't have a position in Liverpool's team, so he falls into that pack. But you're right, some of them are just at different points of their Liverpool journey. Shaqiri, Lovren are coming, and Lallana coming to the end of it. Origi might be at the end of it. Minamino's very much at the start of it. He might yet develop into being, might be more, but he is. He's just in that. Keita's got more to come. Oxlade-Chamberlain's got more to come. Minamino's got more to come, because they are the lads who are just about to hit their prime. Hmm. They are mid-20s, and they're the lads who are ready to start hitting the stride. Our best lads are all in their prime, and these are the lads who are just bubbling under, ready to take the place.
We say, you know, quite often, and it was said in the comments during the stream, actually, you know, when you take one of the front three out, they're not the front three anymore, they're the front three because they all play together, and they play together so well.
It's our front three.
Yeah, it's our front three, but it actually goes for the midfield as well. I think you mentioned it there. Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum. That's our best midfield three. Mm-hmm. I think you can change one of them, and I think you can keep the level up. I think what we saw today is change two, and you might have a bit of a dip.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw. We saw a midfield that doesn't play very, very often together, hasn't played very often together, struggling to find their feet in a competitive game of football against a team that was playing for everything, playing for their fucking lives.
Ox doesn't have the same command that Jordan Henderson has. You know, he doesn't have that aura, he doesn't have that, he's not that type of player. I think he does a reasonable sort of job. You know, we might just find that you find lads are a bit like this sometimes. You know, he might find that if we don't adapt that role a bit more, he might be a bit of a square peg and it might not quite work out for him, which would be a crying shame. But just, I wouldn't write him off. I mean, again, no. I've only just, like, it was just this week I was revisiting the Genk games, and people were fucking...
I wonder why you started talking about Genk so often.
No, obviously, but it just so happened that we obviously were just playing that midfield as well. But people were creaming in their pants at how good Oxlade-Chamberlain was in those games. And he played false nine in the home game at Anfield in the first half as well, and he was pretty good. But he scored probably, I mean, it's been forgotten about doubtless, but like probably our goal of the season he scored away from Genk when he banged one in off the crossbar. He's got loads more to offer this side, and you're dead right. It's just, I think, and we're gonna get, this is gonna get worse and worse over the next coming months and seasons, I think, because you get a bunch of people and the standard comes up so high that the stuff that we used to be critical of is now nowhere near Liverpool's squad. We don't have Alberto Moreno's in the squad anymore. We just don't. We don't have some of the absolute toss that Liverpool have carried around over the years is now not even good enough to get, you know, to visit Anfield, let alone get in the side.
Well, Everton come twice a year.
Yeah, I know. But the point is that there's people who just need to have something to be critical of at all times because it's how they judge football and how they watch football, and it's fine. Judging Oxlade-Chamberlain, saying Oxlade-Chamberlain's not good enough, if it's true, then it shows how brilliant we are. I don't think it's true. No. I think you're going to get good performances.
You know, the one thing that I want to ask you about after this game is, how do you think, judging these types of games, what is doing it here doing to you? Because for me, I think about games in Anfield where we've come out and we've won, and I've had a fucking great time because I've sung my heart out and I've enjoyed being in part of the crowd. Yeah. And I just wonder whether this strange situation is actually compounding things a little bit.
It's why I think the social media reaction to everything is always more negative than the in-person reaction to things, because it's just easier to be a minge bag when you're disconnected from the world. And I'm fine. Recency bias means I quite enjoyed that. I got to see two good Liverpool goals. I'll remember that far more than I'll remember the 65 minutes of turgid, awful football that preceded it. I had to make a point again, just to mention the book again. I actually had to make sure that I write my first reaction line to get it out, because I'll forget. I'll just think more about the good things that happened in the game. I'll think about Naby Keita, and I'll think about Curtis Jones, and I'll think about Mane's goal and all those things. And they'll be my big takeaways from it, and how Liverpool could have gone, nah, you're all right, because who's asked? We'll take a draw. We won't push on and won't push on, but we did push on. And we didn't just push on and scrape it. We pushed on and won 2-0.
I'm slightly different to you. I enjoy doing this, don't get me wrong, but I get well more enjoyment from being in the game, mm-hmm, and being in that camaraderie and just listening and just soaking up that atmosphere and doing the fan cams and stuff after the game and everything else. That I actually think, you know, I've seen us win games 1-0 or 2-0 that have been just as boring as that. And I've not felt probably as bad about the performance because of all the other things that goes into that match day experience that I can take away with me. Sitting and watching something on a telly, it's just not the same for me, and it's making me feel slightly worse. And if I'm one of those people, I'm not saying everybody's like that, mm-hmm, but I can imagine quite a proportion of people feel the same.
I think it's fair to be saying, though, that that's up there with the worst first 65 minutes of a game of football we've probably played this season. At least in most games of the season, we have a
City.
We had chances. We forced the goalkeeper. We forced Edison into a string of saves.
I'd rather not be 4-0 down in 65 against City, though.
Oh God, yeah.
That worse because we conceded four.
Oh no. But you're right. But it was a much more enjoyable game of football in a footballing sense. But like I think you're not wrong in what you're saying. But that is an example of it. We'd have thought that was shite if we were in the grounds just as much as we would have done.
But I'd have got to sing the Bobby song to him.
But would you have done? Because a game like that, there'd have been no fucking atmosphere. It would have been flat all fucking game long.
Let me remember it how I want to fucking remember it, mate.
Exactly. Nostalgia works however we want nostalgia to work. But yeah, the point is, of course, is that Liverpool are champions. Liverpool are another 3 points closer to the points record. 104 points is still possible. At this point, this is what it's going to come down to.
So we're on 89 now.
No, but I guess so. You know, this is what it's going to boil down to, Chris. If we were just going to... Klopp could just fuck around if he wanted to. But what we're at least seeing is the Man City result being a little bit of an outlier on it. That we've seen that game loads of times. We saw that game against Aston Villa, you know, albeit, again, probably a slightly better performance because we had more shots, etc. But we only won that by a goal in a last-minute, last-gasp, Sadio Mane throwing his head in and flicking it in kind of stuff. This was well more comfortable, but it didn't necessarily feel it or whatever. If we're going to carry on. Klopp's going to have Liverpool carry on as they've been. And every now and again, we're going to hit our absolute perfect stride, like the Palace game. But it's worth reminding everyone at home and listening and watching that we haven't played like that all season. The Leicester game stands out because we were fucking brilliant. The first 45 minutes against Salzburg at Anfield stands out because we were absolutely brilliant. Crystal Palace, because we were absolutely brilliant. A lot of the time, we've just crushed teams to death and just waited for the last few minutes and took away the points. There's probably going to be a few more of that.
Exactly what happened in this game, isn't it? You get a goal, it opens up a little bit, and you get another.
Yeah.
That's happened earlier on in games for us. Yeah. It didn't today, but we still walk away with 3 points because we are the best team in this country.
Yeah, exactly. And Eddie, I've watched us draw that game so many times, and the reason we're winning the league is because we don't draw that game anymore. Right, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. If you got this on the podcast, leave a 5-star podcast review on your podcast and app if you can. Drop a like on YouTube, join up for the YouTube memberships, and check out the Final Word show, which is going to be going out on this. It's going to be an hour. Anything that we've not discussed you want discussing, let me know in the comments. We'll go into more depth and detail on that on Monday morning. That'll be out in the afternoon, available to YouTube members for tier 2 and tier 3 members, and for subscribers to the redmentv.com. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.